Jimmy Disso. Right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Lagos. Good morning to you once again. Welcome back. I was here at 7:34, the papers, but I am back here again. I'm Sheriff Quadri, sitting in for Jimmy Disu. Jimmy Disu has been on leave now. I can't wait to have him back on the radio because, you know, his space is wide. For me too, especially the size of his shoes. Not that I'm not saying Baba has big legs. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying. Exactly. So, JD, please, come back on time, eh? So you can handle this show as it should be. But I'll try my best regardless, okay? And nice to meet you if you're tuning in for the very first time. We are Nigeria Info, and we are the nation's biggest conversation, right? And we're reaching you live from Etemi and Christian Victor Island, Lagos, Nigeria. You can watch live right now on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can watch us live on those two platforms. Daily Digest starts right now. And this morning, we're going to Rivers, where a lot has been happening. If you look through the news mill this morning, in fact, from yesterday, politics in Rivers have dominated every aspect of our news space. Every aspect. Social media, print media, broadcast media. It's about Rivers politics. And rightly so, because we follow up on the trend that is going on there in River State. You know that we're just getting started. This is just the tip of the iceberg as to what is to come. But like I said earlier in the morning, I would love to speak to gladiators in the state. But first and foremost, right now, it's pretty much difficult to get someone. It's not that there are no people, you know, that would be unbiased and all of that. But it's... If you know how politics in Rivers, if you know how it works, you know that these people are there, but they are very hard to find. Some can do it, you know, very subtle way, you know, but it's pretty much. I'd prefer I speak to my bureau chief, whom I trust so much, as to the information that she'll be giving us this morning. Bureau chief in Port Harcourt, Chema Ezenwafo, join us this morning. Chema, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Sherry. Good to hear your voice again.
Good to have you on the show. This is the first time that we'll be on the program together.
Yes, actually, yes.
It's nice to have you here. Let's start from the basics. What can you tell us as to how these all started?
Okay. So, you know how the social media, whether we like it or not, has become like a big part of the news mill.
That's right.
So, it started with the rumors of, you know how they say rumors of war, wars and rumors of war. Let's just say that's how it started, with the fact that it seems like the relationship between the current governor and the former governor, who is now the FCT minister, wasn't as it used to be. In fact, there was a video that showed them walking off of each other. I don't know if you've seen that video.
Yes, I have.
And there's this meaning that was being read into it by lots of people. But that was over the weekend. By Monday morning, or rather by Sunday night, about 10 p.m., the news broke about the State House of Assembly complex being on fire and how swiftly the Federal Fire Service were able to come put out the fire. And then photos of the actual damage that was done to the building was also shared by, I think, police officers who had taken over the entire complex, and about 17 trucks were situated, and they were not allowing anyone in, apparently. And then by early morning, actually as early as 4 a.m., we understand that some members of the house were already inside the complex as early as 4 a.m.
4 a.m.
came to learn, yes. And then by 6 a.m., our correspondent was already there, but they were not allowed in. That's our assembly correspondent, so it wasn't allowed in.
Okay.
And then after, I think, about 8 a.m., we're able to get in.
Okay.
And that was when the lawmaker decided to use the auditorium. They tried severally to try, because everywhere was dark due to the fire. It damaged the electricity supply there.
Okay.
And they were able to restore the power supply there, and then they started their sitting. They were about, the head count that was done, we counted 23 lawmakers,
okay,
including the speaker, that's 24. But we hear one of them later said that someone else has joined us, but we cannot confirm if a 24th person joined them. In this case, a 25th person joined them. All right?
Yeah.
And then the entire sitting lasted about 16, 17 minutes. And within these 16, 17 minutes, the leader of the House was removed and suspended with three others. And then an impeachment notice was officially mentioned on the floor by one of the lawmakers.
Mm.
And then it was, you know, they basically started the process of this impeachment. And while all of that was going on, some supporters of the governor gathered at the entrance of the government house.
Okay.
Because, of course, the whole noise and everybody, we had them as a joy youth, because the governor is from, most people see, and that's what they want to talk about.
It's from the River Rhine.
And so we had a lot of such groups who had already mobilized.
Okay.
And that was the plan. So while that was going on at the assembly, they mobilized and went to the government house to, you know, clamor for support for the governor, that they were going to watch that happen. And the governor decided to go to the assembly.
Okay.
I'm not sure whether he was going there to stop the impeachment or to assess the level of damage.
Mm.
But at the time he proceeded, he was, I'm sure you've seen the video by now.
Yes,
the water
I have.
Cannon.
That's right.
You know, it looked like one of what we used to just see in TV, foreign TV actually, but it looked like it happened here in River State. We saw water cannons, we saw tear gas. And there was the governor right in the middle of all of those trucks.
Right.
And it didn't look good, actually. But that was the case. And I think he eventually proceeded and was able to get into the assembly complex. But like I said, the sitting didn't last up to 20 minutes. Mm. So it was over by the time he got there.
Okay.
And he actually said he's not supposed to. He faulted the sitting and said that he hasn't done anything wrong, which is another thing that we should also notice. During the sitting, nothing was specifically said about it. No particular case.
Because I was going to ask, since we have a man there, so EB was there, whether he mentioned any particular offense that the lawmakers alleged that the governor committed.
So right. The assembly correspondents were not allowed in initially.
Okay.
And so we had the government house press corps. And that was how we had our reporter there. That is Onyeka Chingos, who is our government house correspondent.
Okay.
And so the press corps were allowed in initially.
Okay. Oh,
and they were
good.
The ones that saw what was going on.
Good.
And so when you look at the entire, because we have a full recording, which is about 16 minutes, a full recording of that entire sitting, you see that there isn't anywhere where any particular case was mentioned. Just general fault finding.
Again, Chema, please confirm again. We covered the entire sitting and you've seen it. And there was nowhere in that sitting that an offense was mentioned.
Yes, it wasn't. Improper behavior and conduct. So no particular case yet. I think I should put that in at this case.
Okay.
Because there's a process that will then require, when the notice is sent to the governor, he's going to respond.
In 7 days.
He will be set up. And to look into the entire matter. So perhaps maybe in coming days, we're going to see what exactly the case is. Because even the governor said yesterday that he's not aware of anything against him. And he was expecting them to have mentioned it, and it wasn't mentioned.
Right.
Nothing was mentioned. No case.
Right. Chema, again, if you're just tuning in, you're welcome. I'm on the telephone with our bureau chief, our Port Harcourt bureau chief, Chema Ezenwafor. And she's giving us the angle of the newsman, what we hear, what we know, what we're certain about. So, Chema, let's move on very quickly. I also saw a video of another speaker. I mean, talk to me. How many speakers do you people have in Port Harcourt now?
Okay. Now, I'm not a lawyer, so let me just narrate what happened.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe the lawyer, because I've been speaking to lawyers on this particular case. In fact, that was one letter of bullets in this morning.
Right.
Because now I'm seeing like two maces. We have a gold mace, we have a silver mace. So when you're asking me, the lawyer, the speakers, I am not even sure. So when I tell the story, perhaps you tell me how many speakers we have. So you also tell with the removal of the leader of the house,
right. That's
Edison here.
Right.
And I remember that he was part of those that was with the governor coming to the assembly who were also not allowed to get in. I remember that he was part of them. So they all went back to government house afterwards.
Okay.
And after that, they held their own sitting. Remember, he was suspended alongside three other lawmakers.
That's right.
For improper behavior. Mm-hmm. And so four of them were at the government house. And then that was around afternoon. The initial hearing, the 24 lawmakers held, was around before 9 a.m. were done. Before 9 a.m., everything was done.
Okay.
Now, this one was happening around 2 p.m.-ish in the afternoon.
Okay.
And they held their own sitting. Okay.
How many of them? Four?
We cannot say because journalists weren't allowed in.
Okay.
But by the time they were done and they came to address newsmen, all right, the removed leader says he's now been elected as a speaker.
Hmm.
Then he said 26 lawmakers. Okay, let me backtrack a bit. In River State, we're supposed to have 32 member assembly.
Okay.
One died, and then we now have 31.
Okay.
So if we did our head count during the one that I held at the auditorium of the complex was burned.
Right,
remember?
Right.
And 24 lawmakers were counted. We counted and head count saw 24 lawmakers there.
Right.
That leaves us with how many? 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31.
Seven.
That's about seven of
them.
And now four of them have been suspended. So we now have three that are, let's say, unaccounted for, just for the sake of what I'm trying to explain.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So these four lawmakers are known because they are known to not have signed the impeachment notice against the governor. All right?
Mm.
So we are not sure the 26 lawmakers that signed for the removed leader when he says that he's now the speaker and was elected. Mm-hmm. After the plenary that journalists weren't allowed.
The pro-governor lawmakers, we don't know where they got their own 26 from.
We are not sure. Mm,
because we don't have a
question. After the briefing, they just left and said they insinuated that the known speaker, which is Martin Ahmehule, has been impeached. It wasn't said, it was insinuated.
Okay.
Right? And questioned. There was no room for journalists to ask further questions.
Okay.
And then they adjourned indefinitely, of course, because the workers at the assembly person are on strike. They started their strike just yesterday as well.
Right.
For a totally different issue, actually. Mm. Okay?
Okay.
So do we have two speakers? I asked lawyers because we see that during the one held at the complex yesterday, a silver mace was there. And then later we're seeing photos of Edison here carrying a gold mace.
Hmm.
And so the question of should the mace be the case here? I asked two lawyers.
Okay.
One is a constitutional lawyer, and he says that there are circumstances, you know, and one of them is this: for you to call a sitting that you are impeaching a speaker, the summoning should have been done by the speaker himself.
Hmm.
Okay, that's one. And then he says you have to constitute a quorum. And two-thirds makes up a quorum.
That's
and
right.
For the case of River State, that should be about 10 people or even to be on the safe side, 11 people. All right?
Right.
And in this case, we cannot confirm if they had up to that at the one at the plenary held at the government house.
Right. Chema, quickly, let's move on to other stories that we have been hearing. One is the sacking of the chief of staff. What can you tell us about that?
Lots of speculation has followed this particular political crisis, Sheriff, and a lot of this cannot be confirmed.
Okay.
It's not just the chief of staff. We hear the camp commandant was also sacked.
Hmm.
And we also hear that the local government chairman were also sacked.
Yes. Yes.
But we cannot confirm any of this. We've reached out repeatedly to the Commissioner for Information, who keeps saying, give me more time.
Mm.
And then the governor, we know, he was supposed to hold a briefing yesterday, but it was, I don't know whether it's to call, say, canceled, because reporters waited endlessly at the government house while the PDP elders, so many of them,
right.
The likes of Osidio Okocha, the likes of Ferdinand Ababraba, the likes of Felix Obua, they all came into the government house yesterday and held a meeting with the governor.
But all of these people are known to be loyal to the minister. I'd like to say at this juncture that we are not accusing anybody, myself and Chema, we are not accusing anybody of being behind what is going on right now. We're basically just looking at this issue from the newsman's point of view. We're not going to say
actually,
much.
Actually, talking about accusations, Sheriff,
yes.
Edwin Clark has accused the former governor, the FCT minister,
that's right,
of being behind all of what's going on. And to think that he was around during the weekend, before he went back, I think as of yesterday, he had gone back perhaps for the set meeting, but he was around. We learned that the minister was in River State when all of what started. Mm. Well, that doesn't confirm anything, though.
Right.
But Edwin Clark believes his involvement is
do we have information as to the outcome of the emergency meeting the party leaders had yesterday?
Like I said, the governor was supposed to brief the press. It hasn't happened. Let's see what happens today. This morning, we see a lot of people are still gathered at the government house, and they are some of them said they slept there. They didn't go home because they wanted to make sure that they protect their governor and make sure there's no overnight impeachment that happens. And that's all we know for now. Nothing is happening at the government house at the moment.
Right.
But we know that with the fake news, like I'm going to call it that at this point, because it cannot be confirmed if any local government chairman has been sacked or suspended. But then, if you look at the legality of it, that's a different conversation.
That's
because these guys were elected.
That's right.
They were not appointed. But that's a different conversation. But the fact that the news was put out there on social media, we are bringing the folks just coming in and says, young people, hoodlums, went to the council at the Ahoda West and carted the palliatives there and basically didn't allow the council chairman there to go into the office and stopped him. And so we still cannot confirm, and the River State government is still very silent about all of this.
Okay.
We wait for that as well.
Let's quickly touch on another speculation that we heard about the chief judge of the state. We're hearing that there's been a call for his suspension. What can you confirm this? Have you heard about this?
The chief judge.
That's right.
Okay. Yes. We cannot confirm as well. I am, like I said, the briefing, we're hoping that this press briefing will finally happen so we can ask all of these questions. But looking at all that was said yesterday, none of that was mentioned. We know that when the leader, that's the removed leader of the River State House of Assembly, who now says he's a speaker, when he was addressing the press yesterday, he called for the governor to do that.
Okay.
So whether the governor has done that cannot be confirmed at this point.
Hmm. Indeed. Chema, finally, what's the atmosphere like in Port Harcourt, you know, in particular? Because you and I, we were both in Port Harcourt when the situation that happened between the then minister and the then governor, Chibike Amaechi, we saw how palpable the tension was at the time. What can you tell us about the situation there?
We've had lots of people who just have, I think, it's neither here nor there. Some people call it Independence Day, that they were worried that this person that was put by one individual, you know, that finally the person is getting liberated. And then, so maybe finally we're about to have an actual governor.
People were saying
and
that.
And then there are other people. Yeah, some people are saying that. So they're actually happy that it's happening.
Okay.
But we have some others who are focused on ensuring that an impeachment doesn't happen at all because of the general effect it will have on the state and how the impact would affect is like we're going to go back, this will move forward. That's what a lot of them have been saying. And the average reverse person just thinks that everything should be set up in a way that people would actually enjoy what they call the dividends of democracy. Okay, so they are indifferent. We also have those that are really indifferent, but the atmosphere, especially around the government house, yes, it's quite tense. Heavy security presence, more and more deployment of police operatives, including the DSS, to see them around the government house.
Right.
And the police have said they're going to investigate the fire that was set at the complex, the assembly complex, because the speaker, that's Martin Zamehule now, said that the fire was started by this removed leader and from the government house. He said it was they were the ones that supervised it. Cannot confirm that at the moment.
That's right.
But police have said they are investigating, and so let's see how that goes. And we hope no other building burns down.
Chamwe Zenwa for Bureau Chief Nigeria Info, Port Harcourt.